This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High City. For the better part of the next 2 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I do plan on joining Bernstein and Holmes on Monday. I'll be there with them at some point throughout the midday show.
That's my
this coming Monday.
Sorry about that.
No.
Terrible
all good.
Introduction
all
from
good.
Your producer.
Well, no, not terrible.
Like a former Hawkeye. That's
not terrible
all,
at all.
All my bad.
Not terrible at all, Alex Gould. Just, you know, clarifying things a little bit. But we are here with you on a Friday evening, and there is plenty to discuss and plenty of fun to be had. Like Alex referenced there, a couple of Hawkeyes with you here for the next couple hours. So that is going to be all sorts of fun. But here in Chi-City, there's a lot to talk about with these Bears as they continue to make news, continue to make headlines, and there's legitimate news that is being made here as opposed to a lot of the conjecture and rumors and innuendo and all the other storylines where folks have been sort of, I don't know, wish casting or hope casting. And you know, in the midst of broadcasting, a lot of that has been going on here too. But the Bears have legitimate news that they have been making with transactions that have taken place here in recent hours, recent days, recent weeks, as this roster continues to be bolstered by Bears general manager Ryan Pohl. So that does give us plenty to get into throughout this evening, and we will do so with you over the next couple of hours. I'm broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We will open up the phone lines throughout the show tonight. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Who knows? Ryan Poles, he definitely ain't done. So who knows? Something may happen throughout the course of our show tonight. If it does happen, breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. We do have some guests on the show, which we do. Kaylin Kaler, senior NFL writer from The Athletic. She will be with us later on this hour as we will talk about the Bears, these transactions, this offseason, the latest on all these different acquisitions that have taken place. And it does feel like the majority of the QB transactions that take place around the National Football League, then everyone tries to dissect what exactly does that mean for current Bears quarterback. At the moment, I think it's fair to still call him current Bears starting quarterback, Justin Fields, because as it sits for the last two plus seasons, really the better part of the last three seasons, Justin Fields has been the starting quarterback for your Chicago Bears. And at the moment, they have not acquired anyone else who would be anticipated to start over Justin Fields. But all of us are curious about what the future holds at that position for the Bears. But up until now, there is not new news. There is not a current transaction that has taken place that gives us any definitive answer there, any official answer there. What we do know, though, is an offseason for Ryan Poles, an offseason for the Chicago Bears that came in with anticipation, came in with, you know, in some ways, a bit of a, where folks were hoping for a flurry, you know, because there was seemingly some draft capital there was definitively some cap space available to the Bears, and the perception of which holes were the most important to fill. You know, are you part of the Matt Spiegel crowd that really wanted them to make sure they prioritized the center? You know, are you a part of what might be the Anthony Heron crowd that wants to make sure they get an extra pass rusher in here? Let's get some speed off that edge. Maybe even a three technique is going to come in here. Are you a part of the masses that are wondering whether or not a quarterback will be definitively prioritized at that number one spot, or are they going to trade out of it? There's been all kinds of discussions that have been happening about that. But wide receiver two has been a spot that everyone around Chicagoland has been curious about, has been anticipating that a move would be made. And the Bears having two picks in the top 10 of this coming draft cycle, then that was part of the curiosity. You know, I don't think very many, but certainly the conjecture was out there. If the Bears drafted someone like Marvin Harrison Jr., if Ryan Poles went that direction at number one overall, certainly from a value perspective, you can make a case that's a reach. You know, you could trade down for number one and get the top receiver in this draft, because quarterback is so popular and it is a QB-rich draft in its perception of these various prospects. You know, very likely three quarterbacks or more expected to go in the top five here. So you can trade down for number one and get a wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. But even if you don't do that, you go ahead and take your QB at number one. But the Bears do have their pick, not the one that was acquired from the Carolina Panthers in that number one spot. They've got their own pick that was still, the season struggled enough where the Bears have their own top 10 pick at number nine. So who's going to be available at number nine? Is that where the Bears, where Ryan Poles would target wide receiver two? He ended up determining no. That was not something he was going to wait for. Now, I do not believe that this transaction where they have traded a fourth-round pick to acquire Keenan Allen, I do not believe that this is actually something that precludes the Bears from still drafting a receiver in the top 10. I do believe it makes it less likely because it's a roster that still requires more, you know, more blue players, as Ryan Poles would describe them, essentially blue chip players, high-level targets who can come in and be a game plan dominant performer. So right now on the defensive front, the main person that would qualify as that is Montez Sweat. Now, the Bears used multiple day two picks in the previous draft cycle on defensive tackle. I think quality young prospects who showed some flashes last season in Javon Dexter and Zach Pickens. Neither one of those young individuals look like they have shown themselves to be this shop-wrecking three technique of the future where you can say, we'll rest on our laurels for the interior of the defensive line, because we have individuals who've shown they are ready to be that consistent game plan altering player inside to get that push of the pocket, to get that constant penetration. Bears ain't got that yet. So all good in that regard. You still have transactions that need to be made, but there's not someone who's here in this current draft cycle where you say the Bears will target that. What we do know is that Keenan Allen, bringing him in now, it does at least feel more comfortable at receiver. There are multiple true playmakers on the outside. I was talking about this yesterday when I was on the afternoon show with Matt Spiegel filling in for Danny Parkins. The Bears, even last season, after you think back to 2 years ago in Justin Fields' second year in the NFL, first year under Matt Eberflus and with Luke Getsy calling his plays, he was still in a position, even last year after 2 years ago, where he was really the only true threat on the Bears offense, where with the football in his hands, he seemed like a touchdown could happen at any given moment. If a defender made a mistake back in 2022, Justin Fields could take the ball to the house. Last season in 2023, you had not only Justin Fields, but DJ Moore added into that discussion, into that conversation, where the Bears, from a game plan perspective on offense, the opponents would go into that game and the opposing defense would say, all right, we got to make sure we got a bunch of eyes on that quarterback, because if he gets out the gate, he can go to the house. And, oh, yeah, they've got a true number one. They've got a top-flight wideout wearing number two on the outside in DJ Moore that can hurt us, that can pick up chunk plays anytime he's got the football. When the Bears added DeAndre Swift, now I don't see DeAndre Swift as one of the A number one backs in all of football, but his gifts, his physical traits, and then last season, his production began ascending, having coming off his best season of his career in Philadelphia with the Eagles, and now the Bears have paid him starting running back money, and I talked a lot about the overall skills of DeAndre Swift, and who knows, when we open up the phone lines, maybe some of you will have questions for me in that regard. But DeAndre Swift at least adds now in the backfield, where I don't have any big issue with Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil Herbert is a good football player. I think Roschon Johnson is a nice young, you know, football player who may still have the potential to emerge. I don't mind Roschon, but he's got some ground to cover. But he's a young player that showed potential when he was healthy last season. And stylistically, he's different from DeAndre Swift. And Khalil Herbert, on the whole, has certainly improved every season that he's been in Chicago. But none of the other running backs on the Bears roster are an individual who, when they get in open space, they look like they got a chance to go the distance. Khalil Herbert's going to get you a 12-yard run. He's going to get you a 19-yard run. He may even occasionally get you a 25 or a 30-yard run. Khalil Herbert isn't a house call waiting to happen. Whereas DeAndre Swift, now there's true electricity in the Bears' backfield. Every offense benefits from that. There are holes in the game of DeAndre Swift, and I described them in detail yesterday. And again, I'd be willing to get into that for you again later tonight here. But now DeAndre Swift, as far as just truly guys who, when they have the football, can they outrun defenders to the end zone? Can they elude multiple defenders at a given notice and just make something out of nothing where they don't have to be schemed into a touchdown? Now DeAndre Swift is another player added to that offense who provides that. Now at wide receiver, you have two of those guys. It's not just DJ Moore. Now Keenan Allen gives you that as well. And not just because of some sort of elite physical traits, not just elite speed or elite suddenness and elusiveness. He's just got an amazing feel for the game. Yes, he is fast enough. He is twitchy enough. But the way he runs routes, there is such precision to his route running and confidence and comfort in his what I call quiet hands. When I call football games on weekends throughout the fall, when you hear me describe quiet hands, Keenan Allen is one of these guys. Like, frankly, DJ Moore doesn't have quiet hands. He's got strong hands. You throw it anywhere near DJ Moore, he's got a chance to out-wrestle the defender for the football. But he's not necessarily just one of these guys who just naturally just quietly plucks the football sort of calmly and comfortably out of the air. Keenan Allen is. It doesn't mean either one is necessarily good or bad, but just stylistically, Keenan Allen is just extremely smooth and comfortable and quiet with all his movements at receiver. He can make multiple routes look exactly the same and then suddenly separate from a defender. And when the ball's nearby, he's just got such confident, quiet hands. You barely hear the football when it touches his hands, when it's near him. And so he's one of these players, one of these playmakers that will now enhance the Bears offense at wide receiver and take things to another gear. So now at this point where, at least at the moment, Velus Jones would perhaps still be on the roster going into the next training camp. Dante Pettis re-signed by the Bears again. I'm trying to recall exactly where things sit with Equanimeous St. Brown, but some of these guys who we've seen at wide receiver for the Bears in recent years, that there have been a bunch of games where guys who should be down the roster, if you have a top flight receiving core, you've been asking too much of the Velus Joneses and the Dante Pettis types and Equanimeous St. Browns of the world. Now, if Dante Pettis is on the roster, he can be so just as a punt returner. And if your roster is deep enough at receiver where you can get by with just having Dante Pettis focus on returning punts, you're in a great spot because he's a good, competent punt returner who fields the ball cleanly, who will get you a few explosive returns here and there. He's been good at that since college, and he continues to be good at it in the National Football League. If Velus Jones makes the squad as a gadget guy and a kick returner, and who knows if he continues to improve at punt returning, maybe that's a role for him also. But as a special teamer who's going to be like your fifth receiver, maybe now that's a more natural role where Velus Jones fits into in this Bears offense as a whole if it does actually improve. And if this offense is in a spot where now they're legit playmakers, it's what the hope was that, you know, the Bears and everyone who cares about the Bears were hoping they would have the potential to be able to have a wide receiver room that was more correctly slotted when Chase Claypool came in. If Chase Claypool could be that true number two guy, and then everyone else could just kind of bump down a slot, and Darnell Mooney could be your number three guy and operate well in the slot, and others could really focus on special teams, and maybe Tyler Scott could have a more gradual development path into not necessarily being in key moments against the Detroit Lions where he's, you know, the second option in the route tree and Justin Field makes the proper read and throws a perfect ball. But Tyler Scott just doesn't come up with that play. That was a great opportunity for him. He misses it. But now if Tyler Scott just hasn't shown he's capable of that in that moment, you know what? He may not even be on the field. And if he is on the field, they're going to be better football players in position to be there in that route progression. So it's just a deeper receiver room and a deeper offense with playmakers on the whole. So that is a great spot for either quarterback to go into. For any, I shouldn't say either, as though it's really just down to two options. For any quarterback, whether it is Justin Fields or if the Bears decide to go, or that is Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May or, you know, whoever else that might be. But whoever the Bears starting quarterback is next season, we see now the tools, the playmakers available to them on this offense being beyond anything we've seen in recent memory with the Bears. That's a great spot for this team to be in, and especially with the potential that presents itself at QB. Would love to hear from all of you out there on this topic and others, but there's some understandable excitement in and around the city for some of these recent transactions. Certainly the offensive line, the secondary, wide receiver, running back. There's a lot of talent that's now being acquired. And what I love most about what Ryan Poles is doing is that he's not breaking the bank with any of it. You know, I mean, there's guys who've been brought in here. There's a roster that's being bolstered, and he's not afraid to do a big contract. We've seen him do it recently with Jalen Johnson. We saw him do it during the season with Montez Sweat. He's not afraid of a big contract. And frankly, the ones he's done have been 4 years or less. He did it at linebacker as well. But the great thing is, even these bigger contracts he's done have not cash-strapped the team for, you know, 7 or 8 years, while at the same time, if you have to go that direction, you want someone to earn it and to prove it. So it's been a very methodical, a very steady, you know, a very sort of, I think, you know, educated sort of way that Ryan Poles is starting to build this thing up. So, you know, I think Bears fans should be rightfully excited about where things sit as of right now. 312-644-6767 is the phone line to get involved in the conversation here. If you want to talk about where things sit with this Bears roster, going to open up the phone lines in this next segment. We'll keep some Bears discussion going throughout this entire first hour. With all the news that's going on in here, and I know especially some of you who are working throughout the day, who've been busy throughout the week, you've been trying to track some of this Bears news from a distance a little bit, may be your first opportunity here now that the work week is over, and certainly now that this Friday is heading into the weekend. You might be getting dressed, you might be getting ready to hit them streets, head out to the club, but before you do, if you want to get these Bears takes off, go ahead and hit up myself, Alex Coon. We'll be able to answer that phone for you, 312-644-6767. Things are looking up at Soldier Field. Let me hear what you're thinking here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on this Friday evening edition, Anthony Heron here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We'll be joined in a few minutes by Kaylin Kaler of The Athletic. Get her thoughts on what's happening not only with the Bears, but the National Football League at large. There's been plenty of news that's been breaking around the league, but I'm going to open up these phone lines. Let's get out to the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Phone line is 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Let's go out and talk to Gilbert, who's in Dalton right now. Let's talk about this Bears QB situation with all the latest news that has been happening here related to his beloved Bears. Gilbert, what's happening?
I'm hanging in there, player. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. It's good on a Friday night. What's up?
I've got an idea I want to run by you.
I'm listening.
Okay, what if they get Caleb Williams and keep Justin Fields and put them both in the backfield on certain plays?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's an interesting concept. Here's where I've been with this, Gilbert, and I appreciate the question. So earlier in the season, I was on the station doing various hits and various shows throughout the week, and one of the times I was on the afternoon show, Danny Parkins actually was asking me about the possibility, the plausibility of the Bears potentially, you know, he pretty much said, I don't see it happening between Justin and Caleb, or, you know, Justin and a first round, a number one overall quarterback both being here. I said, no, I don't rule that out, you know, because the Bears still have contract control over Justin Fields. You know, if you end up with a Daniel Jones scenario, they give him a prove it year, or all these other examples we've seen historically of veteran quarterbacks who are essentially placeholders for first round picks at QB, including number one overall picks. I've changed my position on that, and the reason is because throughout the season, we saw multiple things develop. One, Justin Fields' game continued to improve. He started playing at a higher and higher level, started showcasing more consistency. The Bears began winning games with Justin Fields as a QB. The locker room galvanized around Justin Fields, and frankly, the heat of the conversation of the Bears quarterback has made it such a divisive topic in the city, and I do believe the locker room feels that to the point where DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker, all these different guys, Lucas Patrick, these guys who have been through the difficulties that the Bears have been building towards over the last couple of years with Justin Fields as one of the leaders of this football team and certainly the chief pincushion of everything that the Bears have experienced here over the few years that he's been the Bears quarterback. The locker room respects Justin Fields as much as they respect anyone around the league, and that respect is felt around the league, which is why you see other star players talking so positively about Justin Fields. So I don't believe it would be advisable for the Bears to bring a number one overall pick QB and drop him into that circumstance with Justin Fields still here. I think in other scenarios, if Justin Fields were older and had already gotten paid, or, you know, frankly, if he didn't play as well as he began to play last season, there are other environments that maybe they could coexist. I just don't think that it would be advisable for the Bears. Now, if the Bears say, there's just something about Caleb, we're not digging, and we don't really want to do the quarterback thing with any of these number one picks, and we're sticking with Justin, I think you could certainly make a strong case for that, but I don't think keeping Justin and drafting Caleb and having them both and coming up with packages, it would enhance the distraction, because when you draft a quarterback number one overall, you're saying we want to move fairly quickly towards this being our future at QB, and I just think you need to resource everything, not only the talent on the roster, but the environment that quarterback is in. You want to resource that in a way that gives him every opportunity, every best opportunity to succeed. So I don't necessarily see that happen. John is out in Sycamore. Let's get a couple more callers in here before we get to Kaylin. Kayla, John, what's happening?
Hey, Big Ann, I appreciate you taking my call. Listen to you all the time. And, you know, I really appreciate your expertise. What a situation the Bears have right now. This is amazing. Yeah. As a Bears fan, it's just crazy that Chicago is getting to this point. I mean, everybody loves Fields. He's been a general out there. He bleeds for the team. But Poles came from an area he knows what a QB looks like. And this guy, he just hasn't proven it to me. To me, what I've seen, that Green Bay game showed me he can't pick apart a cover defense, and that was it. We put up 9 points. With that being said, I am totally in on Caleb Williams. I've been watching him for a while, and you just can't argue 120 touchdowns in his career. Like, that guy just finds a way to get in the end zone and has special. My question to you is, with your expertise, Ant, is at 9, I don't think Poles is trading out anymore. I think he's ready for elite talent with this roster. And what do you think about, yeah, it would be nice to pair one of these receivers with the other two now after Keenan Allen, but defensively, that other edge spot, if you get a rookie, you could get the best edge rusher in the draft. So my question to you is, who do, from your scouting so far, I really like Turner, the length and the speed, but Verse looks like a beast. What do you think, Ant?
I love the question. So with the defensive ends, with the edge rushers in this draft, I think that Dallas Turner is in a few ways the best combination of pure physical traits with productivity and understanding the position and just how you get after the quarterback. My hesitation with Dallas Turner is that he's mainly been a stand-up and slash outside linebacker in his college career. The Bears are going to be looking for someone to put their hand in the dirt. The Bears don't necessarily play. You know, Dallas Turner, to me, suits more of an odd front. He's not a guy who's consistently been in a three-point stance, setting the edge against the run, both against tackles and in some tight alignments and going out on the edge. So I think the Bears are looking for someone who can be a speed rusher opposite Montez Sweat. Jared Verse, I think, is a better version of that. To me, Jared Verse is the best pure defensive end pass rusher in the draft, who's been a guy with his hand in the dirt pretty consistently during his career at Florida State. I like Laiatu as well. I don't love him in the top 10. If the Bears were to trade down, Laiatu is an option there, but then also Chop Robinson, because even though his numbers at Penn State from a sack perspective aren't as flashy as some of the other guys, you think about the scheme he was in, he had a bunch of other playmakers in Manny Diaz's defense there around him at Penn State. So there were times when Chop Robinson was in the backfield beating blockers, there's just other guys were making plays as well. So I think there's opportunities there trading down from 9 to still get a guy who I believe will have a chance to come in and contribute. Laiatu is that potential. If there are physical concerns with Laiatu, then Chop Robinson is someone who has been, especially after running that 4.440 at the combine, who's been shooting up some draft boards. So if the Bears thought Dallas Turner could truly be a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end, then I wouldn't mind Dallas Turner, but that to me is more of a projection than a guy like Chop Robinson, who's played in a three-point stance a bunch throughout his career, and it's a bit underrated how big of a difference that is, being sort of a two-point stance, outside linebacker, pass rusher type, versus a guy like Chop Robinson, who's played the run in the Big Ten as a defensive end, but is certainly at his best, flying up the field, into the backfield, trying to make plays. Let me sneak one more caller in here before we get to Kaylor. Farmer Pat is out in Arlington. Let me see what you're talking about, Pat. What's happening this evening?
How you doing, Big Ant? Thanks Not for bad. Taking my call. Sounding great as always.
Appreciate it, sir.
I just wanted to know if you were the Bears GM, what would you do with Justin Fields and the picks? And kind of wanted to get your scouting report on Iowa quarterback Cooper DeJean. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a good question, Pat. It's part of why I wanted to sneak you in here, too. And I may come back to this later on as well. I'll try to condense this so I don't have Kaylor waiting too long. With the Justin Fields situation, I've kind of gone through that a little bit. I think it's more likely than not the Bears are going to move on from Justin, draft Caleb Williams at number one. To me, I do still believe that Ryan Poles has due diligence he's looking to do, though. I don't think he is 100% decided at this point until they do have the opportunity for a more extended meeting with Caleb Williams and to get him on the field and put him through his paces. There are some steps to this, but Caleb Williams, I'm confident, has passed the tests up to this point, but it hasn't gotten to the final exam portion of things yet. What would I do? I agree with one of the previous callers. I think it was John, actually, the last caller, who said that Justin Fields just didn't pass all of his tests. And I feel like if Justin Fields could have shown more consistency down the stretch last season, I would have been more willing to and wanting to pound the table for the Bears to stick with him. Because I do believe there is high-level quarterback play within Justin Fields, and I still think there's a good possibility he will access that at some point in a better situation later in his career. But the Bears have the number one pick again. This is a QB-rich draft. I think it does make sense for the Bears to go ahead and draft a quarterback like Caleb Williams if he passes all their tests and to move on from Justin Fields. As far as Cooper DeJean, he played mainly corner the last couple of years at Iowa. He had never played corner in high school before. He played quarterback and receiver and running back and safety and return man, all these different stuff. He was an amazing athlete. In short, and I can maybe get back around to this later, and if I don't tonight, I'll definitely do it on another show, so keep tuning in when I'm on the station. Cooper DeJean, I don't believe, is as high a level of a cornerback in the NFL as he will be a free safety in the National Football League. That's, to me, more the position he projects to. If he wasn't at Iowa, he would have been a safety throughout much of his college career. Once he played as a true freshman, they played him at some safety. They played him at some nickel as a slot defender. Then, you know, he just, because of injury, really, he ended up playing corner much earlier in his career than they anticipated. And he's just a baller, and he played well there, and he made plays, but mainly in off coverage. And when you talk to Cooper, he'll even tell you himself, in press man situations, that's not his strength. I don't know that he'll really develop that into being his strength in the National Football League either. Now, in a cover two defense, playing some off-man concepts, being able to drive on the ball and make plays, can he play corner in the NFL? I think he can play corner in the NFL. Cooper DeJean's best position in the National Football League will be at safety, and I think more preferably free safety. But when it comes down to it, he is such an exceptional talent, athlete, football player, checks every box you could hope for. Wherever he plays in the NFL, I believe he'll play well. His best position will be at safety, and not necessarily a box safety, like an extension of the linebacker position, as much as being a playmaking free safety. So I think that's where Cooper DeJean will be best suited. Let me get out of the way. A couple of minutes from now, we'll talk to Kaylin Kaler from The Athletic, get her thoughts on the Bears. She has covered Caleb Williams very extensively. Looking forward to talking about those topics and others with her next on The Score. So much happening here in the Chicago sports scene, specifically with your Chicago Bears and all around the National Football League. No one better to discuss these topics and others than Kaylin Kaler, senior NFL writer with The Athletic on Twitter, at Kaylin Kaler. And she joins me right now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today and visit circuslasvegas.com. Kaylin, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time to do so. Sorry I'm a few minutes tardy, because folks are always very excited to talk about the latest happenings with the Bears. Wanted to make sure I got some phone calls in there. So what were your impressions of the offseason that Ryan Poles was putting together before we got the Keenan Allen news last night? What were you viewing Ryan Poles' performance as so far?
Well, I think a lot of Bears fans, or from what I gathered on, you know, social media, they were all like wanting more out of this year's free agency, just based off of how last year went at this time. It was much more movement and bigger names coming to Chicago, like DJ Moore and, you know, trading the number one overall pick. So I'm picking up, Edmonds and Edwards last year in free agency. I think this year felt like it was a little bit quieter, but I didn't necessarily hate that. I was like, you know what? Poles did his work in the season. Like, or last year, you know, he got DJ Moore. That was huge. He traded for Montez Sweat in season. He traded away Chase Claypool. So, you know, that was good. So he did his work in season. And so I feel like it felt like not a ton of big things were happening in Chicago with his free agency until that trade for Keenan Allen. But I felt like we have seen what Poles is doing. We've seen him construct what he wants out of the Bears, like over the last year, not just in, you know, the start of this new league year. So I was fine with it. And I think the Keenan Allen trade is really interesting and exciting for a lot of reasons. I mean, he is going on 32 years old, does have a pretty significant injury history, but he also has proven himself as a very productive wide receiver. And obviously has worked with Chris Beattie before in LA. So I think that's all really good, and I really like that move. And yeah, I mean, I think it's been good so far, even though it feels a little bit quieter than last year.
And I've been struck, even coming into the off season, by what I view as a bit of a thread, a bit of a needle that Ryan Poles will have to thread, because he does need to view the long-term health of the Bears as sort of his chief target, while at the same time, I believe he's got a coach in Matt Eberflus going into his third season who's, you know, essentially in a must-win sort of scenario here where Eberflus has to field a team that performs at a high level. So there's a balance. The Keenan Allen acquisition to me is one that threads that needle pretty well, where you bring in someone who really bolsters the talent of your offense without necessarily saying that we're flushing all this cash into a player to make that happen.
Totally. And if they draft Caleb Williams, which is what all signs are pointing to, you want, when you have a rookie quarterback, because rookie quarterbacks, let's face it, whether they are, you know, 100% ready to start or not, they need help. It's a different world than college football. So I liked that trade because you're giving him, you know, DJ Moore is an established veteran. Keenan Allen is an established veteran. Cole Kmet is now an established vet. You're giving him playmakers that have the experience who can help him if there is any adjustment period, which there will be, because no matter who you are as a rookie quarterback, it's a different world in the NFL, and he's going to have an adjustment period for sure.
And with that in mind, let's talk in a little bit more detail about Caleb Williams. I know you've been on the station discussing the piece you wrote a couple of weeks ago for The Athletic, where you really got an in-depth look and did a lot of diving into who Caleb Williams is as a person, as a prospect, who's around him. Love to revisit that a bit, just what some of your main takeaways were. And to me, the reason why is because once he finally addressed the media at the Combine, there were still some folks who kind of looked at that and said, oh, I was impressed. I didn't realize he was so composed in addressing people, because a lot of folks hadn't necessarily heard from him. We've just heard about him so much. What have been your takeaways about Caleb?
Yeah, so he's a really fascinating player. I think it was really good to hear from him at the Combine, because as you pointed out, like, we really hadn't heard from him much before, and there were a lot of questions about, you know, what was going on with the people around him, because his dad had been very vocal. His dad had said to GQ that, you know, if the situation wasn't right, they would go back to USC, which raised a lot of eyebrows across the league. And then I reported in my story last summer, Pro Football Talk reported that a representative of Caleb had been asking prospective agents for equity in the team that drafts him, for a partial ownership stake in the team that drafts him. And at the time, they just said it was a representative, but in my reporting, I found out it was actually his dad who was broaching that topic with prospective agents. So I think there were a lot of questions about, you know, is Caleb on the same page as his dad, Carl? You know, is Caleb all about football? You know, we always have this question every draft season about, you know, does a quarterback love football? Do they have too many outside hobbies? Which can be kind of a silly conversation to be having, but it is something that we focus on every time we come around to draft season. So I think when we heard him talk, I think that, you know, he answered a lot of those questions and said he would play in Chicago, because that had been a question as well, because Colin Cowherd had reported that him and his team weren't thrilled with Chicago as a landing spot. So he answered that and said he would play there. You know, he'd be excited to play there. And he said the same thing about Washington. You know, basically his motto is whoever drafts him first, he's willing and happy to go there. So I think that was good to hear from him. And I think, like, there's still, you know, not doing medical testing at the Combine did raise some eyebrows. Again, I'll use that phrase. I keep using that. But it's just the best way to put it. You know, not everyone agreed with that decision in the NFL. There were a lot of people I spoke to, scouts, other agents, people who work for teams, who really questioned that decision. And so I think what we can gather is that, yes, Caleb is going to do things differently than any other player. And it's because the team around him, and he does, he said this at the Combine, he said he wanted to be immortal. It's because the team around him and Caleb, they truly believe that they are so confident in the fact that, like, he's going to change the NFL, and he's going to be not only changing it on the field, but also off the field. And, you know, we'll see what comes. Like, we'll see if they're right. But as it stands, they're just supremely confident in that. And I think that's what we can take away from it. And I do think that, like, from what I gathered, you know, teams were not really concerned about how this will affect him on the field. Like, everyone seemed very assured, you know, coaches and scouts that I spoke to, that the off the field stuff, you know, the fact that he made around $10 million in endorsement money while at USC, the fact that he does, you know, his dad is very involved in the business side, sort of the things I already mentioned, like none of them feel like that's going to affect Caleb as a player on the field. So I think that's, you know, good to hear. And, you know, someone, a source close to USC told me, like, if you don't hear it from Caleb, then, you know, it's not true, essentially. Like, Caleb speaks for Caleb. So I think that's important to keep in mind as we go through this draft process. Like, if what he says is goes, essentially. Like, he's running the show, even if it may seem like, you know, the team around him is doing things differently. He's the one running the show.
Kaylin Kaler of The Athletic, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. She's on Twitter at Kaylin with a K, Kaler with a K. The way that the way that Caleb is perceived, Caleb with a C, is perceived by the national, right? How he's perceived by the National Football League. It matters more how the Bears perceive him since they have the number one pick in this draft. But what have been your discoveries, I suppose, from folks you've talked to around the league with their perception of Caleb? Because they are all right now in the information gathering business of trying to figure out what would acquiring Caleb Williams involve, not just him, but, you know, the scope of what Caleb has meant at the college level and being this disruptor, as our guy Lawrence Holmes has kind of described him as. What are the impressions as you see it right now around the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall impression is that he's hands down the number one quarterback in this draft, and it's not really a question. So I think that is the overall takeaway. And then after that, I mean, I do think, like, there's not much that you can do to disrupt the rookie contract, right? Like, that's part of the CBA. It's pretty much set in stone, slotted by your draft pick, the amount of money that you're going to make, and the fact that you're on a four-year deal with a fifth-year option. That's going to be hard to make any changes to that. So I don't think I don't know that that is a concern, because I know, you know, people on his team are interested in exploring, you know, his dad has been vocal about how he doesn't like how the draft is set up, and he doesn't like the fact that, like, you know, rookies, like, and inherently it isn't fair that a rookie quarterback, like, let's use C.J. Stroud as an example. C.J. Stroud played out of his mind this year. He is going to make a certain amount of money that is well below the market value for the next 3 years, and you can look at Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, who is making, you know, multiple times more than C.J. Stroud. I don't have the numbers in front of me to, like, cite them right now, but, like, you know, Deshaun had a much worse year than C.J. And so you kind of look at that and you're like, yeah, that isn't fair. So there isn't much you can do to change the rookie contract. So I don't think teams really take seriously, like, the disruptor thing right now. I think when it comes to his second contract is when that may become more of a factor. Because he didn't sign an NFLPA certified agent. He is working with a very veteran agent, but not in a agent capacity. Like, they didn't hire him as an agent. I know that doesn't make any sense, but, you know, they're basically, he's an advisor. They did not sign a standard representation agreement with this guy. His name's Tony Agnone. He's been in the business a long time. He's working with them as an advisor. So they decided to do things differently in that way too, because Carl, the dad, you know, as he was interviewing agents, he was like, what can you do for my son that can make, you know, can you find any loopholes, basically, to the CBA? Can you find any loopholes where we could get out of this rookie, this very solid rookie contract structure? And nobody could. So ultimately, they decided, you know what, we don't need an agent right now. But I think for that second contract, that's where you're going to see that come into play. So obviously, this is, like, all so far down the road right now. But I think, like, generally speaking, like, people in the NFL are not really concerned by the disruptor aspect right now, because I don't think realistically it's going to come into play until a little bit later in his career.
Many things for the Chicago Bears to balance, not only Ryan Poles and his decisions with the roster, but decisions being made with coaches and everything under the sun. We know that as it plays out, you will cover it extremely well, Kaylin Kaler. Appreciate you taking the time this evening.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right, you too. That is Kaylin Kaler of The Athletic. Take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll keep the Bears discussion rolling. And I mentioned the needle that Ryan Poles is tasked with threading here. And he sort of put himself and the organization in this position. I'll describe in more detail what I mean by that before we get to some college football conversation a little bit later in hour number two with you this evening, as my guy Pete Futek will join me in just a few short minutes. I'm Anthony Herron. You're listening to The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Williams very extensively. Looking forward to talking about those topics and others with her next on The Score. So much happening here. The Chicago sports scene, specifically with your Chicago Bears and all around the National Football League. No one better to discuss these topics and others than Kalen Kaler, senior NFL writer with The Athletic on Twitter at Kalen Kaler. And she joins me right now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today and visit circuslasvegas.com. Kalen, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time to do so. Sorry I'm a few minutes tardy, because folks are always very excited to talk about the latest happenings with the Bears. Wanted to make sure I got some phone calls in there. So what were your impressions of the offseason that Ryan Poles was putting together before we got the Keenan Allen news last night? What were you viewing Ryan Poles' performance as so far?
Well, I think a lot of Bear fans, or from what I gathered on social media, they were all like wanting more out of this year's free agency. Just based off of how last year went at this time, it was much more movement and bigger names coming to Chicago, like DJ Moore and, trading the number one overall pick. So I'm picking up, Edmonds and Edwards last year in free agency. I think this year felt like it was a little bit quieter, but I didn't necessarily hate that. I was like, you know what? Poles did his work in the season. Or last year, he got DJ Moore. That was huge. He traded for Montez Sweat in season. He traded away Chase Claypool. That was good. So he did his work in season. And so I feel like not a ton of big things were happening in Chicago with his free agency until that trade for Keenan Allen. But I felt like we have seen what Poles is doing. We've seen him construct what he wants out of the Bears, like over the last year, not just in, the start of this new league year. So I was fine with it. And I think the Keenan Allen trade is really interesting and exciting for a lot of reasons. I mean, he is going on 32 years old, does have a pretty significant injury history, but he also has proven himself as a very productive wide receiver. And obviously has worked with Chris Beatty before in LA. So I think that's all really good, and I really like that move. And yeah, I mean, I think it's been good so far, even though it feels a little bit quieter than last year.
And I've been struck, even coming into the off season, by what I view as a bit of a thread, a bit of a needle that Ryan Poles will have to thread, because he does need to view the long-term health of the Bears as sort of his chief target, while at the same time, I believe he's got a coach in Matt Eberflus going into his third season who's, essentially in a must-win sort of scenario here, where Eberflus has to field a team that performs at a high level. So there's a balance. The Keenan Allen acquisition, to me, is one that threads that needle pretty well, where you bring in someone who really bolsters the talent of your offense without necessarily saying that we're flushing all this cash into a player to make that happen.
Totally. And if they draft Caleb Williams, which is what all signs are pointing to, you want, when you have a rookie quarterback, because rookie quarterbacks, let's face it, whether they are, 100% ready to start or not, they need help. It's a different world than college football. So I liked that trade because you're giving him, DJ Moore is an established veteran. Keenan Allen is an established veteran. veteran, sorry, Cole Kmet is now an established vet. You're giving him playmakers that have the experience who can help him if there is any adjustment period, which there will be, because no matter who you are as a rookie quarterback, it's a different world in the NFL, and he's going to have an adjustment period for sure.
And with that in mind, let's talk in a little bit more detail about Caleb Williams. I know you've been on the station discussing the piece you wrote a couple of weeks ago for The Athletic, where you really got an in-depth look and did a lot of diving into who Caleb Williams is as a person, as a prospect, who's around him. Love to revisit that a bit, just what some of your main takeaways were. And to me, the reason why is because once he finally addressed the media at the Combine, there were still some folks who kind of looked at that and said, oh, I was impressed. I didn't realize he was so composed in addressing people, because a lot of folks hadn't necessarily heard from him. We've just heard about him so much. What have been your takeaways about Caleb?
Yeah, so he's a really fascinating player. I think it was really good to hear from him at the Combine, because as you pointed out, like, we really hadn't heard from him much before, and there were a lot of questions about, you know, what was going on with the people around him, because his dad had been very vocal. His dad had said to GQ that, you know, if the situation wasn't right, they would go back to USC, which raised a lot of eyebrows across the league. And then I reported in my story last summer, Pro Football Talk reported that a representative of Caleb had been asking prospective agents for equity in the team that drafts him, for a partial ownership stake in the team that drafts him. And at the time, they just said it was a representative, but in my reporting, I found out it was actually his dad who was broaching that topic with prospective agents. So I think there were a lot of questions about, you know, is Caleb on the same page as his dad, Carl? You know, is Caleb all about football? You know, we always have this question every draft season about, you know, does a quarterback love football? Or do they have too many outside hobbies? Which can be kind of a silly conversation to be having, but it is something that we focus on every time we come around to draft season. So I think when we heard him talk, I think that, you know, he answered a lot of those questions and said he would play in Chicago, because that had been a question as well, because Colin Cowherd had reported that him and his team weren't thrilled with Chicago as a landing spot. So he answered that and said he would play there. You know, he'd be excited to play there. And he said the same thing about Washington. You know, basically his motto is whoever drafts him first, he's willing and happy to go there. So I think that was good to hear from him. And I think, like, there's still, you know, not doing medical testing at the Combine did raise some eyebrows. Again, I'll use that phrase. I keep using that. But it's just the best way to put it. You know, not everyone agreed with that decision in the NFL. There were a lot of people I spoke to, scouts, other agents, people who work for teams, who really questioned that decision. And so I think what we can gather is that, yes, Caleb is going to do things differently than any other player. And it's because the team around him, and he said this at the Combine, he said he wanted to be immortal. It's because the team around him and Caleb, they truly believe that they are so confident in the fact that, like, he's going to change the NFL, and he's going to be not only changing it on the field, but also off the field. And, you know, we'll see what comes. Like, we'll see if they're right. But as it stands, they're just supremely confident in that. And I think that's what we can take away from it. And I do think that, like, from what I gathered, you know, teams were not really concerned about how this will affect him on the field. Like, everyone seemed very assured, you know, coaches and scouts that I spoke to, that the off-the-field stuff, you know, the fact that he made around $10 million in endorsement money while at USC, the fact that he does, you know, his dad is very involved in the business side, sort of the things I already mentioned, like, none of them feel like that's going to affect Caleb as a player on the field. So I think that's, you know, good to hear. And, you know, a source close to USC told me, like, if you don't hear it from Caleb, then, you know, it's not true, essentially. Like, Caleb speaks for Caleb. So I think that's important to keep in mind as we go through this draft process. Like, if what he says is, goes, essentially, like, he's running the show, even if it may seem like, you know, the team around him is doing things differently. He's the one running the show.
Kaylin Kaler of The Athletic, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. She's on Twitter at Kalen with a K, Kaler with a K. The way that the way that Caleb is perceived, Caleb with a C, is perceived by the national. Right? How he's perceived by the National Football League. It matters more how the Bears perceive him since they have the number one pick in this draft. But what have been your discoveries, I suppose, from folks you've talked to around the league with their perception of Caleb? Because they are all right now in the information gathering business of trying to figure out what would acquiring Caleb Williams involve, not just him, but, you know, the scope of what Caleb has meant at the college level and being this disruptor, as our guy Lawrence Holmes has kind of described him as. What are the impressions as you see it right now around the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall impression is that he's hands down the number one quarterback in this draft, and it's not really a question. So I think that is the overall takeaway. And then after that, I mean, I do think, like, there's not much that you can do to disrupt the rookie contract, right? Like, that's part of the CBA. It's pretty much set in stone, slotted by your draft pick, the amount of money that you're going to make, and the fact that you're on a four-year deal with a fifth-year option. That's going to be hard to make any changes to that. So I don't think I don't know that that is a concern, because I know, you know, people on his team are interested in exploring, you know, his dad has been vocal about how he doesn't like how the draft is set up, and he doesn't like the fact that, like, you know, rookies, like, and inherently it isn't fair that a rookie quarterback, like, let's use C.J. Stroud as an example. C.J. Stroud played out of his mind this year. He is going to make a certain amount of money that is well below the market value for the next 3 years. And you can look at Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, who is making, you know, multiple times more than C.J. Stroud. I don't have the numbers in front of me to, like, cite them right now. But, like, you know, Deshaun had a much worse year than C.J. And so you kind of look at that and you're like, yeah, that isn't fair. So there isn't much you can do to change the rookie contract. So I don't think teams really take seriously, like, the disruptor thing right now. I think when it comes to his second contract is when that may become more of a factor. Because he didn't sign an NFLPA certified agent. He is working with a very veteran agent, but not in a agent capacity. Like, they didn't hire him as an agent. I know that doesn't make any sense, but, you know, they're basically, he's an advisor. They did not sign a standard representation agreement with this guy. His name's Tony Agnone. He's been in the business a long time. He's working with them as an advisor. So they decided to do things differently in that way too, because Carl, the dad, you know, as he was interviewing agents, he was like, what can you do for my son that can make, you know, can you find any loopholes basically to the CBA? Can you find any loopholes where we could get out of this rookie, this very solid rookie contract structure? And nobody could. So ultimately they decided, you know, we don't need an agent right now. But I think for that second contract, that's where you're going to see that come into play. So obviously this is, like, all so far down the road right now. But I think, like, generally speaking, like, people in the NFL are not really concerned by the disruptor aspect right now, because I don't think realistically it's going to come into play until a little bit later in his career.
Many things for the Chicago Bears to balance, not only Ryan Poles and his decisions with the roster, but decisions being made with coaches and everything under the sun. We know that as it plays out, you will cover it extremely well, Kaylin Kaylin. Appreciate you taking the time this evening.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right, you too. That is Kaylin Kaylor of The Athletic. Take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll keep the Bears discussion rolling. And I mentioned the needle that Ryan Poles is tasked with threading here, and he sort of put himself and the organization in this position. I'll describe in more detail what I mean by that before we get to some college football conversation a little bit later in hour number two with this evening, as my guy Pete Futek will join me in just a few short minutes. I'm Anthony Herron. You're listening to The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.